She's feisty, she's funny, and she tells it like it is. Get ready for Empower Readings with Corby Mitlide. What are your opportunities right now? What are the possibilities? Ask Corby and cross the bridge from fear to fearlessness and fly. Here's your host, Corby Mitlide.
Welcome to Empower Readings. I'm your host, Corby Mitlide, and this is a show that I have been lusting to do since I started my show back in August of 2011. Everybody, when they love what they do, they're probably going to have a partner in arms, partner in crime, someone that they know is their professional equal, someone who is a real partner. And think of it like Batman calls in Superman or the X-Men need the Avengers. That's kind of how it goes. I'm so pleased tonight to have Stacy Wells on the show. Those of you out there who are familiar with Robert Schwartz's series, Your Soul's Plan and Your Soul's Gift, know that Stacy and I are the two psychics who have done both books, and that Stacy is the amazing talent who can actually hear pre-birth planning readings, hear the dialogue, and give you a chance to know what the heck you thought you were doing before you got down here. And so Stacy has agreed to be on a slightly left of center Valentine's Day show because we're going to be talking about the karma of relationships. Hey, girl. Boy, it's about time you got on the show. Welcome to Empower Readings.
Thank you, Corby. Happy to be here and talk about this subject.
Now, can you give people a little 30 seconds? You've been doing this for how long? You were what, six?
Well, I was definitely born this way and developed a relationship with my spirit guide. I have several spirit guides, four that I work with, but one main spirit guide who apparently our pre-birth planning session agreement, and maybe even before the session began, was to work together in this way. And so what happened in my life, which was a result of and witness to and party to great amounts of dysfunction, was that something happened in my life when I was 14 years old that caused me to ask my spirit guide a pivotal question. In my life, I had seen so much dysfunction, not just in my family, but in the area where I grew up in Southern California, where the entertainment business is pervasive throughout the area. And most of us understand how the entertainment business, with its commodities being based so much on looks and how much the talent can earn money for the producers, the networks, et cetera, the whole ethic then becomes what you look like, not how talented you are necessarily, not how good a person you are. So there was a lot of dysfunction prevalent. I witnessed something that happened when I was 14 years old that really crystallized for me the kind of suffering we have in our life and how when we suffer, it affects our relationships, our families, the people that we work with, and so on. And if your listeners have read Your Soul's Gift, they'll know about that. But for the listeners who haven't, I'll let them know, and I'll tell you about that right now. When I was 14, I witnessed a very tragic car accident in the middle of a very busy intersection in Southern California. And apparently with my clairvoyant vision, not the physical vision, when that accident happened, I saw the impact and I saw two children out of four passengers in that car lose their lives in those seconds. And I saw a shockwave of energy go out from that car in that car accident and pass through the people who witnessed the accident, whether they were standing on the intersection or in cars passing by where it happened. And saw that go through them and saw it go farther out and reach people like me who were standing farther away from the intersection. And in that moment, suffering really crystallized to me. And I asked my spirit guide, as I watched this shockwave of energy affect not just the people that were in that car in the crash, but everyone who witnessed it and what are the soul level reasons why? Why do some things happen to some of us and not others, like this tragic car accident? And why, when something happens to six of us, do we have four, five, or six different ways of coping and reacting to it? Because I saw in those moments how that accident was going to affect everybody that day, whether they were part of the accident or witness to it. They were shocked by it. They were affected by it. And they were going to go tell their coworkers and their family members and generally be affected by that shock and then affect everyone else around them. And their relationships would all be affected in small ways, probably, and to the people in that accident in large ways as a result. And so this crystallized my life's focus. What are the soul level reasons why? And it took my spirit guide about 30 years to teach me the answer. This happened when I was 14. And over those 30 years, the gist of what he taught me is that there are 9 basic karmic lessons in the human evolutionary path. And that each of us as an individual will choose usually between 3 to 5 of those karmic lessons for each individual lifetime. And once we decide what karmic lessons we choose, we then pull in energies into our personality that we create for that life. And that those energies that make up that personality are made up of a combination of personality traits we've had in other lifetimes that we enjoy and want to experience again and maybe make more of, and personality traits that we want to weaken in some way, and maybe other personality traits that we've never had before and want to experiment with. So we create a personality for the life that we're planning, and that personality also brings with it some of the past life experiences that we've had, and some of the karmic lessons that we work on in that life that we're planning are also karmic lessons that we have worked on in past lives. And what I've really found out through all of this work over all these decades since is that when we pull off the drama and the layers of he said and she said and this happened to me and I'm a victim and all of that kind of thing, when we pull it back and we really come to know what the karmic lessons are that we've chosen and why we have experienced the things we've experienced, it gives us a new viewpoint that enables us to make a shift within ourselves, how we view ourselves, how we understand our life and our life experiences, and how we understand others. And many times, that internal, very personal shift create the change in who we are in our relationship, and our relationships change, and many times they will improve as a result.
One of the things I'm hearing here, and I want to know what these 9 things are. I think it all comes down to, as soon as you stop being a victim and realize you are a volunteer, then you can put your hands on the materials you need to examine your life and make the changes. If you just sit there and wave your hands and say, I didn't do any of this, you can't move.
Oh, yes, absolutely true. Absolutely true. And so it is our relationships which provide us with the most fertile soil for our karmic learning experiences. How are we going to learn about ourselves if we have no other person in our lives for contrast? So relationships very often are learning experiences. And I think it's very helpful to identify what is it that I'm here to learn and what is this relationship helping me to learn?
So what are the 9, very quickly, because we already have somebody on the line, what are the 9 segments or lessons that we can possibly come in to learn?
I will name each of these 9 karmic lessons just by the name, but I want your listeners to understand that there are often 2 or 3 different layers of information connected with each karmic lesson. So sometimes the lesson doesn't quite say it all just by name.
Okay.
They are as follows. The karmic lesson of emotional independence. The karmic lesson of relationships. Yes, there really is one called the karmic lesson of relationships. The karmic lesson of self-esteem, self-worth, self-confidence, self-expression. The karmic lesson of strengthening adaptiveness by experiencing change and craziness in the home and family. The karmic lesson of learning to control over impulsivity. The karmic lesson of personality maturation through responsibility to family. The karmic lesson of spiritual growth through enrichment of the relationship with self. The karmic lesson of balance. And the karmic lesson of self-perfection. These are the 9 karmic lessons.
All of these sound so clear, you know, simple phraseology, but there's so much nuance under it. What Stacy and I are going to do tonight is we have 3 or 4 people that we're going to be working with. We have asked for their names and their birthdays so that we can do a little numerology in it as well. And they've given us a little background on what's going on with them. So we're going to deal with the karma of their relationship questions on the air. Stacy's going to talk about what she sees and if I see a past life, because that was what I did in the book, The Past Life and the Soul Channeling. I will chime in on that as well. So the first person that we're going to bring in is Aina. Thank you so much for being part of this. Aina, this is Stacy Wells. Stacy, this is Aina Spirit Walker.
Pleased to meet you,
Aina. Hi, Stacy. Nice to meet you.
Thank you for being a part of today's show.
I'll right back at you.
All right. Now, Aina has given us some background, which we don't need to use on the air. We've read it. But her on-air question is, how can I eliminate this feeling of unworthiness from the depths of my soul and welcome in positive, healthy, abundant love, finances, and happiness? She's had some dysfunctional marriage and dating relationships. That's all that the listeners need to know. Stacy, what'd you find?
I was able to identify some very, very relevant karmic lessons for you, Aina.
Wonderful.
And we'll try to cover it in brief in my pre-birth planning readings. This is something that we might spend a good hour talking about. So we don't have that kind of time today. So I'll try to keep this brief. Your most important karmic lesson, Aina, is the karmic lesson of balance. And this karmic lesson, at its heart, is about learning to connect with the emotional centeredness within yourself, that calm place, that still, calm, centered place, that place that we usually go to in meditation. I'm sure that's where you visit it. And when we pick that karmic lesson, we plan a life that resembles something like an emotional roller coaster ride with extreme highs and equally extreme lows.
Yes, already.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And the reason why we plan those extremes is so that we will be made miserable enough, hopefully, by the extreme highs and lows of it all, to finally give up chasing after that which we think is going to bring us peace, happiness, and contentment. Because whatever that is, it's usually something that we think happens outside of ourselves, or that something right. or someone else can give to us. So many of us spend much of our lives chasing after that thing from our significant other. But actually, the kind of relationship experiences you've signed up for, so to speak, in your present lifetime as more of a teaching tool than anything else is a relationship that's designed to knock you off balance so that you have your soul's desired experience of learning how to find that center point, learning to connect with it. And then once you've learned that, your relationship is going to try to come along and see how well you're able to maintain your connection to that centeredness. And if you can't, then you learn how.
Right.
And so that's one thing that I see here, is that your relationships are primarily designed to revert your focus back to yourself as source. Mm-hmm. As source of emotional peace, health, well-being, contentment. And it is that centered place within that we all have, and some of us just haven't learned to tap into it yet. But it is that centered place within that leads us to bliss, to that nirvana, as the Hindus have described. Additionally, you have another karmic lesson. Well, you have two other karmic lessons that really deal with your relationship with yourself. And these karmic lessons are emotional independence, as well as self-esteem, self-confidence, self-expression, that karmic lesson. And what we find with these two karmic lessons is that until we really, really get it into our heads that, number one, it is within yourself that true happiness and well-being comes from, and not from anyone else outside of yourself. Mm-hmm. Number two, that your truth comes from within, not from anyone else outside of yourself, and that your truth is worthwhile. And that when you live according to your truth, you live a fulfilling and satisfying kind of life in service to your highest good and also the highest good of others. But until you're able to stand upon that well of the strong emotional connection within that these two karmic lessons are meant to help you develop, mm-hmm. you're going to have this sort of weakness for the other sex or your other sorts of emotionally connected relationship to give right. you that feeling that you're okay and that you matter and you deserve to take up space on the planet.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so until you're able to truly walk in that path 100% of the time, your relationships are going to test your ability to stay centered. And they're going to test your ability to have that sort of internal dialogue and feedback loop that is so often at an intuitive level. Beyond the ability to hear words, it's more like listening to the flutters of spirit. And I'm sure that you do this very well in your day-to-day life, but a lot of us really get tripped up when it comes to our most personal relationship.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so understanding that part of the karmic lesson of self-esteem, self-worth, self-confidence, self-expression means that you wanted to learn what your truth is. You wanted to create a foundation of self-confidence over the course of this lifetime based on a full awareness of yourself. And it's sort of like getting yourself to the point where what others think of you doesn't matter, is none of your concern. And when we realize that, we will then start making very purposeful steps away from seeking our self-esteem and self-worth in others and looking for love in the wrong forms, in the wrong places, and getting into troublesome relationships.
Right.
And really begin to become much more self-sustaining and thus self-actualized. But I'll say one more thing. You also have the karmic lesson of relationship, as well as the karmic lesson of spiritual growth through enrichment of the relationship with self. And with both of these in mind, let us understand that your relationship, by and large, are meant to be a learning tool for you and meant to revert you back to yourself as source of truth, as source of learning, even. There are things that you learn when you are connected within as source for emotional health, happiness, and well-being. And your relationships are truly a learning experience for yourself. There is an aspect of the karmic lesson of spiritual growth that sometimes gets in our way financially. And this was something that you let us know about before the show started.
Mm-hmm.
With the karmic lesson of spiritual growth, we will often create times in our life where we have more alone time, time with ourselves, than what most other people have. And very often, that will be accompanied by times of not enough money. Not enough money to distract ourselves with things that don't really matter, with things that will take our focus off what that alone time is meant to encourage. And what that is meant to encourage is your relationship with yourself. And over the course of your life, there is a process you're meant to go through where you finally come to recognize and understand and know what it is you must have your life be like in order to truly feel fulfilled. And that helps you then to become very confrontationally honest with yourself and do the next step in that karmic lesson, which is getting very honest within and recognizing within where within yourself those changes need to be made so that you can have a more satisfying and fulfilling life in the future. Any way you look at it, I think, this is really saying it's all about you. It is all about you this time around, and it's not really about expecting a relationship to give you that which you are looking for and in truth what your soul is looking for from yourself. Pay more attention within, become more connected within to that every whisper of your indwelling spirit, and little by little learn to act accordingly to it. And you may find that when those little red flags come up in relationships, that you listen to them, pay attention, and get yourself out of a relationship experience that may go on later on down the line to really change and become one of those very abusive and controlling sorts of relationships.
Right.
So I think here was a learning experience, what you had told us about before the show. There was a learning experience here about all of these karmic lessons. But really, if we wanted to bottom line it, it's about the connection within to yourself. And this relationship experience that you had, both for the past 20 years and more recently, were all meant to help you make that greater connection within, develop more self-esteem and self-worth, which is something that we are often left to do after a divorce or a painful breakup, and create a greater sense of wholeness, emotional independence, so that you are not emotionally dependent on your relationship. And thus, it means that the relationship that you will then attract to yourself become much more emotionally healthy. But you have to do the work within.
Absolutely.
I hope that this has helped a little bit. We are going to go to break. This is Corby Mitlide. We're on with Stacey Wells. We're doing the karma of relationships tonight, and we will have more calls on the other side of the break. Stay with us.
Have you ever lost a cat? And have you ever wanted to get your cat back after you lost it? Hi there, I'm Andrew Hoffman. I went on this website called InventNow.org. Then I decided to make an invention of my own. It's called the Lost Cat Magnet Invention. So you can get your cat back after you lost it. Just turn it on, and lost cats stick to it. That's a good cat. If your cat was hiding up in a tree, it won't be up a tree anymore. It will be stuck to the lost cat magnet. And sometimes they fly toward you in the air. Just listen to one satisfied cat. See, that's proof. You should go to the InventNow.org website too. But just remember one thing. Don't do a lost cat magnet.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions or just play some games at InventNow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
The odds of a young girl being discovered by an industry insider while singing to herself pumping gas? 1 in 300 million. The odds of the daughter of a clergyman from Severn, Maryland spending 11 weeks at number one on the U.S. singles charts? 1 in 19 million. The odds of going on to win 6 Grammy Awards? 1 in 1.4 million. The odds of selling over 40 million records? 1 in 800,000. And the odds of this musician and performer having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 150. I'm Toni Braxton, and I encourage you to learn the signs of autism at AutismSpeaks.org. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Autism Speaks. It's time to listen.
Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Sassy! Sassy!
This week's episode, Fire at the Shed.
Gee, Johnny, this rope swing sure is swell.
Don't I know it.
Hey, it's Sassy! I think she's trying to tell us something.
Mr. Gunderson? What about Mr. Gunderson?
A fire? Mr. Gunderson's trapped?
Where, Sassy? Where?
What, Sassy? Now that you've got our attention, you'd like to take a moment to talk about shelter pets? Shelter pets in general are well-adjusted, healthy, and love being with people?
Sassy, we don't have time!
Pets often end up in shelters due to owner problems like divorce or allergies?
That's great, Sassy, but what about the fire?
There is no fire! You're just messing with our heads?
Sassy!
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt!
Welcome back to Empower Readings with Corby Mitlide. Your calls are next at 248-809-3475. 248-809-3475. Empower Readings on Empower Radio. EmpowerRadio.com.
Welcome back to Empower Readings. I'm your host, Corby Mitlide, and tonight I have my wonderful colleague from the Robert Schwartz books, Stacy Wells. Stacy, while we're waiting to get our next caller on the air, can you really quickly tell people how they're going to find you after tonight?
Yes, the best way is to pull up my website, www.stacywells.com. And my name is spelled S-T-A-C-I-W-E-L-L-S. On that website, you'll find all the information about me, and you'll find information on my services page about all the readings that I offer, as well as other policies that apply to the reading. Also, on my website is a request an appointment button, and you will be able to request your appointment online using the request an appointment button.
While we're not doing any work on this tonight, one of Stacy's amazing talents is medical intuitive work. If I've got someone who doesn't know what's going on with them or the doctors are not giving them answers, I tell them, run, do not walk, to your phone and your website information and go. Because she was able to find some amazing stuff about me. Some of you who are regular listeners know that in 2004, when I had microcalcifications on my mammogram, I went to 5 medical intuitives. Stacy was the only one that said, sorry, kid, it's cancer. Here are the 2 places. They're going to have to do surgery. Everybody else was fluffy bunnying and telling me that it was going to be, oh, just fine. She saw it and she called it. And as a result, I was in a much better frame of mind to deal with it and to get through it. And here I am just about 9 years later in terrific shape. And Stacy, part of that is because you told me what to expect and how to deal with it calmly and proactively. So thank you for that.
Well, you're welcome.
We now have Christine. Christine has a question for us. Are you there?
Yes, I am. Hello.
Christine. Hi. Stacy got the information. That's okay. Stacy got the information that you sent to us. Your question is, what am I to learn or remember in order to heal the relationship with my husband and to finally end the patterns that have been repeating? Stacy?
Yes.
Hi, Christine.
Hello.
Christine, for some reason, I do not know why, I really was drawn to you today. And maybe I don't know why, but I did get a lot of information about you, and I was able to identify 5 karmic lessons that your soul chose for this lifetime. The most important of those karmic lessons is the karmic lesson of emotional independence, the learning that you and you alone are truly your only source for happiness and well-being in your life. And that means there is a process that we go through learning that we cannot depend on our relationships, our emotionally connected relationships with friends or family members, our romantic relationships, our family relationships. We cannot depend on them to create that sense of emotional health and well-being for us, because this is part of the process of individuation that we go through as a soul in order to connect more deeply within while we are in the human body form. And so emotional independence is something that can color all of our relationships. Even though you might have had more than one marriage, let's say, it could still be that those marriages might have been different if you yourself, when you met those individuals, had been in a more emotionally independent place. And very often, what happens with us as we plan our life at the soul level, we will ask other souls to be a significant part of our life and give us a relationship experience designed to revert our focus back to ourselves so that we can, through disappointment and heartache most often, learn to make that deeper connection within that brings us into a closer relationship with ourselves and greater wholeness and well-being. This karmic lesson also tells us that you're really learning how to get your own emotional house in order by and for yourself and learning how to keep it in order, even through multiple rough spots in relationships. The other thing that really stood out to me about you, Christine, is that you have a karmic lesson of over-impulsivity. And while we don't have enough time to fully discuss this lesson today, because it is the most difficult and the most complex of them all, and I have known some clients who have worked with this karmic lesson of over-impulsivity for over 100 of their lifetimes, it's that difficult. There is something that is basic to this karmic lesson that also has affected your relationships in this lifetime. Basic to this karmic lesson of over-impulsivity is the soul's desire to experience itself as someone who is unique, different from others. And because the highest purpose of the karmic lesson of over-impulsivity and your soul's highest goal with choosing it is to learn unconditional love in all its forms, including the love for yourself, loving yourself unconditionally, learning to be loved unconditionally, and learning to love others unconditionally. With you, I think there is a large part left still about learning to love yourself unconditionally and to know yourself as someone unique within the context of your relationships, bringing you to a place of greater unconditional love of self, which it was hoped by your soul would bring about kindness, compassion, unconditional love of others to change you so that you would be changed and you would not become altered in your relationships. In some of your other lifetimes that have been shown to me, you were an individual with a very tempestuous sort of personality, truly an individual who did not have emotional independence and was very connected to others doing what you felt was the right thing in order for you to feel good. And so while that might be one of the ways we might experience uniqueness, it is not a way that we can produce and engender healthy relationships. When you've come to the point of recognizing your uniqueness and truly making it work for you and learning to love it and celebrate it, your emotional health takes a big step up and your relationships shift and change as you no longer put the burden on your partners for that love and approval and recognition of your uniqueness. It no longer matters because you're okay within yourself. Additionally, and I know our time is running short here, additionally, you have the karmic lesson of spiritual growth within the connection within yourself. Spiritual evolvement through connecting at a deeper, stronger level within the relationship to yourself. So many of your most emotional relationships are going to either give you a lot of alone time because they recognize that's what you need, or they're going to give you a lot of alone time because of the nature of the relationship and the dysfunction in it. This means essentially, Christine, what I'm trying to say is that your relationships are truly meant to revert you back to yourself as source. And through creating greater emotional health and well-being within, it's meant to encourage a greater capacity for disengaging from anger, blame, expectations, and rising to a new level of compassionate awareness about yourself as well as others. And this kind of compassion comes easy to us for our children, but not always so easy about our significant other who we have expectations should act and behave a certain way. And when they don't, we get very upset. I have a couple of past lives to help illustrate this, but Corby, I'm not sure that we have the time.
We kind of don't. We've got two more people that we're going to call. What if you choose one?
Okay. There was one particular past life that came to me following a life in which, following another lifetime in which you really engaged in the misuse of others and did not have a strongly connected relationship with yourself. What was shown to me was a lifetime in the 1400s in that French-English area, that border area that got a little fuzzy at that time, where you were a very learned man and typically embodying the up-in-your-head analytical part of the karmic lesson of spiritual growth through enrichment of the relationship with yourself, having never made the spiritual connection within. You became hired in your mid-30s by a very wealthy landowner and titled man, and you were hired as his chief of finances to care for and manage his growing wealth. When he was in residence and not traveling, he demanded daily reports from you, and you gave them verbally, but sometimes you made them up out of whole cloth and thin air. You happened to succumb to temptation in that life and in that job, and you rationalized that your heart was in the right place, and you rationalized that the money you took from this man was to take care of your family even after you were dead and gone. Over 10 years, you really managed to sock away quite a lot. And it was discovered after 10 years' time because it truly did amount to quite a lot of money. And you rationalized to yourself that God would understand why you did it out of love for your family, out of wanting to take care of them and make sure they were going to be okay after you were dead and gone. But deep within, in that still small secret place within yourself, you did not forgive yourself. And you knew you were acting out of fear. And what was essentially poor sense of self-worth that led you to believe that you were never good enough and never would be able to provide well for your family and lift them out of poverty when it was really you in poverty consciousness. And so now here you are in your present life and you help other people with their relationships with money as you yourself have had a learning experience upon that and have healed that part of yourself. At the soul level, you can now teach what you've learned to others, which also is an embodiment of one aspect of the karmic lesson of spiritual growth through relationship with self. I understand that our time is growing short and we must move on. Thank you very much, Christine, for being a part of our show today. And I hope that this little bit of information has helped you.
Thank you so much. Yes.
Good. You're welcome.
You are welcome. Okay, our next caller is Mary. Mary, welcome to Empower Readings.
Hello, how are you?
Fine, thanks. Glad to have you with us. Mary, this is Stacy Wells.
Hello, Mary.
Hi, Stacy.
Glad you could be with us today, Mary.
Here's Mary's question. I have recognized that I'm always more drawn to men who won't commit and are difficult, and by my own choice, I'm bored by really nice men, even as I know how self-defeating that is. And I know this is not what I should continue to do if I'm going to have a decent rest of my life. Thoughts?
Right away, I was able to identify a few of the karmic lessons that you have, Mary, that are involved in this. And the two that I really want to hit first, and it might be all we have time for, is that your most important karmic lesson is one that I was just speaking about a few moments ago with Christine. Your most important karmic lesson, Mary, is spiritual growth through enrichment of the relationship with self. So on an internal basis, there, you're just much more inclined to enjoy your own company. But this karmic lesson will often produce relationship problems due to a lack of communication, some communication problems that can occur. And often those communication problems are as a result of not really sharing what's going on with you inside. And many times, not even realizing that that's what's happening. And so if you find yourself drawn to men who are difficult, who don't commit, it might be because your soul is really after some time alone, some time best spent with yourself. And these men aren't really meant to be a life partner for you. And also, there might be a little bit of communication challenges here. And you might find that if you were maybe more forthcoming, more authentically self-expressed, didn't hold back or restrain yourself, you might wind up being aligned with a different kind of partner. There's also a couple of other karmic lessons. The one that I also wanted to identify was this karmic lesson of emotional independence that you're also working on. And sometimes the pendulum can swing a little too far the other direction with that one. And instead of truly working within ourselves to create a healthy emotional connection within, we will instead allow that pendulum to go really too far to the opposite direction and push people away or create relationships that are never really going to have the chance to become emotionally intimate, because that would mean that you get into all kinds of other patterns that get you off track emotionally, that pull you away from your relationship with yourself. Additionally, Mary, I got to say that you also have that karmic lesson of over-impulsivity. And we very often see individuals with this karmic lesson having trouble making the correct choice in their relationship, making a correct choice for a really good relationship partner who truly understands you, appreciates you, and values you. Because in this karmic lesson, as I was saying a few minutes ago to Christine, inherent to it is your desire to experience yourself as someone who is unique, and also to experience what you need to have in order to learn to love yourself unconditionally instead of looking for that outside of yourself in other relationships, and finding that you draw to you and get yourself into relationships with men who really aren't capable of loving at that sort of whole and emotionally intimate level. And very often we see individuals with this karmic lesson of over-impulsivity making choices to get involved in a relationship based on lust rather than waiting and forming a foundation of friendship and trust and compassion before they really throw everything in 100% into that relationship. friendship is what enables us to really create a relationship that lasts a very long time and lasts for life. And it seems that the choices you've been making have not really been towards building a friendship sort of relationship. It's almost like there's a shortcut that's been happening. But I'll say that these men give you an opportunity to work on that karmic lesson you have of self-esteem, self-worth, self-confidence, self-expression. Because every time they don't seem to get you or approve of you, it also gives you a chance to repair your self-esteem and self-worth, repair that damage they might have done to your self-esteem and self-worth, which enables you to build it up more, to build it up by yourself, for yourself, so that you can make that into a more solid foundation of self-confidence, which will change who you are in your relationships, who you're attracted to, and who you finally decide to put your both feet in with a relationship, instead of making these choices that wind up being difficult and less than fully satisfying. And I think that this has been something that you've been working on for many lifetimes, because I was shown a life of yours as a man in China in the early 1600s. And you were a personality in that lifetime who really came off very cranky and aggressive towards others, but it was born out of a need to want to push people away, not to want to interact with people. You were very content to be a loner on your own with your own company and the things that interested you, and not have to put up with other people and share your life and your dwelling with them. You pushed them away. You were cranky, you were gruff, you had aggressive exterior. It was basically much easier to deal with people in that way, which was really not dealing with them, and keep to yourself. And also in that lifetime, apparently you used a lot of snuff. And we find addictions or the use or misuse of mood-altering substances very commonly associated with the karmic lesson of over-impulsivity, because that karmic lesson is one that the soul chooses when the soul has truly come to realize that in their other life experiences, they have made a habit, a strong personality trait of reaching for the quick fix, the quickest, most expedient solution to how they're feeling at the moment, instead of really doing the personal work within the self that we all have to do sooner or later in one or another lifetime, in order to then have a life that is truly fulfilling and satisfying. So very often there is a need on the part of the person who has the karmic lesson of over-impulsivity, and it's not just a need, it's a soul-level desire to really experience yourself as someone who is unique, learn to come to love yourself unconditionally, and through the karmic lesson of emotional independence, learn to really get your emotional house in order by yourself, for yourself. And this will cause a change in your relationships and who you choose to be in relationship with. Make sense to you, Mary?
It's a lot to take in. It's a lot.
Yes, truly it is. And I understand very often how this can be overwhelming. And it's a good thing that we have this recorded for later broadcast, and you'll be able to download and listen to the archived version of it, and you'll be able to think about this. And, you know, Mary, you can always contact me and we can talk about this further on another time.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Mary. I hope it's been helpful for you today.
Yes, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Stacy, the last person with us wasn't able to be on live, but did send us a question. And this is from Allison. Why is it so easy for me to love others so unconditionally, yet in all my relationships, with the only exception of both my children, I do not feel or receive the same kind of love back? And Allison is in the lightworker service industry the way we are. So what would you say for Allison?
You know, Allison, you are truly a unique yet complicated individual. And while you are here to be of compassionate service to others, we could say that that is your dharma, your most important karmic lesson is the karmic lesson of balance. And so by and large, your relationships are designed by your soul's agreement and desire. Your relationships are designed to knock you off balance. How well, how strong can you maintain your centeredness? How strong can you maintain that emotional calm and well-being while the storm rages around you? This is part of what we are meant to learn in this karmic lesson of balance and why we create these lives of extreme experiences like this. Additionally, Allison, you've got this karmic lesson of emotional independence that is like a double intensified heaping helping of it in this particular lifetime you've created for yourself. And so you too are really truly involved in the lesson that your relationships are not meant to be the source of your emotional health and well-being. Your connection within is. And until you stop looking for your relationship to give you that sort of wholeness in the love experience of it, that they really understand you and appreciate you and love you just as much and just as unconditionally and with as much compassion as you love them, it's just not going to happen until you put yourself in that position with yourself and really create that inner foundation of a strong sense of emotional connectedness so that the storms of the others around you will not pull you out of balance. And so that you can engage your compassionate awareness from a greater, higher spiritual perspective, less personalized, less attached to anger, blame, shoulda, woulda, coulda. Additionally, one last thing. You have the karmic lesson of strengthening adaptiveness through experiencing change and craziness in the home and family, Allison. And while you came in with a personality that is very nurturing and loving, and you want to show others the way, this just does not mean that you've learned to discern who will truly benefit from your energy. So very often what will happen in your relationship is that somebody else's changes, somebody else's craziness, somebody else will do something unexpected, and you're left holding the ball. You're left being the one who's responsible. You're left being the one to carry out the task that the other person couldn't complete, the responsibility that the other person could not live up to. Because this was the way your soul thought would force you into having to become more adaptive, more resilient, and more strongly connected within so that you weren't dependent on the relationships you have with the people around you for the feeling of wholeness, centeredness, peace, and calm in your everyday life. It's almost like your task is to learn to be that calm, centered presence in spite of and because of the craziness and changes that are happening in the drama of the family that you're in, whether that family is created through love and marriage and friendship or the family that you were born into.
I hope that this gives Allison a little insight into the roller coaster that she has been on for the past little while. Stacy, I already got an in quick from somebody. It was Christine. I just wanted to thank you for choosing me for one of the readings with Stacy. Stacy mentioned the karmic lesson of over impulsivity. Is there a resource I can turn to in order to better understand what this is? And Christine, what I would recommend for you is to actually do a session with Stacy. Stacy, we got 4 minutes to close. Can you give somebody a quick idea of what a pre-birth planning session is like with you?
The pre-birth planning session will be designed to address the particular life challenge or issue that you want it to highlight. But along with focusing on that, we go into a great amount of depth and breadth and detail about each of the karmic lessons your soul has chosen, why a little bit of your soul's history leading up to the present life in connection with those challenges, and how these karmic lessons are served by the challenge that you've elected to highlight in your reading. It truly gets into the nitty-gritty detail of everything that you are working with in life. It runs about 90 minutes in session, sometimes a little bit more, depending on how challenging your challenge is, how much karma you've got, how much detail we've got to go into. And I spend about 2 hours before the session in a very deep meditative focus in which much insight comes to me, and I make a lot of detailed notes along the way as I do so, so that by the time your reading session begins, I have pages and pages of notes to speak to you about, and the reading becomes a combination of working through those notes and the information that comes to me spontaneous along the way. There are usually one or two past lives that are revealed during this pre-birth planning reading, and these kinds of past lives are really a back to the cause of it all sort of lifetime, not a multi-chapter book, but a real back to the cause sort of life. And most people, as I've said earlier in this show today, most people gain quite a lot and really shift their viewpoint as a result of the reading. It truly is a deeply insightful reading that you can rely on for many years to come, the rest of your life, in fact.
All right, we have got to wrap it up quick. Stacy and I could have been on for another 6 hours. Stacy, thank you so much. You can find Stacy again at stacywells.com. That's stacywells.com. You can find me at firethroughspirit.com. And you can find me also back here in 7 days when we will do another session of Empower Readings. Thanks so much for listening. Have a wonderful Valentine's Day.
Right.
Baby, I'm going to have to send you beer after this. I'm going to have your work cut out for you.